We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Well, once again, it is Take Time for Jesus coming to you into your homes. By however you receiving us, and we're happy to report victory in Jesus. We're knowing that he is still on the throne and has control over the things that are going on in this world today, and he will allow certain things to happen to fulfill his word of the tribulation times, and it will wax worse, my friends. You can count on that, because the word of God, it speaks about it, and it is true, and all things will be fulfilled accordingly to his word. And nevertheless, that people are turning against the things that were in that God has put in order, and they're seeking after pleasures of life and to please the flesh, looking into things that are ungodly, and coming to the place that we're in that they will uphold wrong and disgrade the right. So we're looking at the time of the end, my friend, and so we got to realize that the apostles of the old that Jesus had chosen to bring this gospel unto you and I, even to the time that whenever it was just exclusively for the Jewish nation, but God had it in his mind from the day that he took Abraham from amongst his people to bring forth, and out of his seed shall all nations be blessed. Now, there's some nations that are not going to hear to the word of God because they have set up their own false gods, and they are looking to other things, and they are doing things that is contrary to God's will for the nations to be into the place to where he will bring forth salvation to them. There's no other name given among men to whereby that we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. All these other people that have come up with these other gods, that they can't do you no good, my friend. They'll just bring you down into the pits with the devil that inspired them to be what they think they are, and that they become gods themselves. Remember back when the devil spoke to Eve about eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He said you would become as God yourself to know right from wrong. But the people would rather have wrong than they had right, so they've come to that place. Remember back in the book of Acts and how Saul went about persecuting the church of the living God, Christian people that called upon the name of the Lord, how he led them to prison and had them thrown in prison, and one thing or another, even reminded the clothes of Stephen's being stoned to death, calling upon the name of the Lord. And he said, I see Jesus and at the right hand of God. Well, my friend, we're looking at these days now that the way that this lot of people have come to persecute the church of the living God, the firstborn of God that Hebrews speaks about. When God took the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage by the hand of Moses, and led them out there, and he said that everything that is born then would be his, the firstborn out of everything that opened the mouths, that God said it was his. Even to a donkey had to be redeemed by a lamb, or elsewise its neck had to be broken and be destroyed. But now the lamb that which in that would redeemed us, you and I, from the sins of this world and from the corruption minds of the carnality and people, and brought us into the true gospel, the same Jesus that met Saul on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why hast thou persecuted thou me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. Saul said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus of whom thou persecuted. And Saul was blinded there, and he was led into Damascus until Ananias came and prayed for him, and the scales fell from his eyes. Paul was converted. He went out into Arabia there, according to the scriptures, into the wilderness, and he got this gospel by revelation. He didn't go to no seminar somewhere or another where man could teach him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he went in there out into the Arabia, out into the wilderness, him and the Lord, and he repented of all of his sins, and he got righteous in the sight of God. And God told Ananias that he would bring him to the place that we're in, that he would suffer much for his name's sake. My friend, today, if we would read the scriptures and find out that Paul led off Christian people back in them days that called upon the name of the Lord and led them into prison, even he seen them to be stoned to death. And so Saul had to reap what he sowed. He was thrown in prison himself, but he used that stepping stone as a furtherance of the gospel. How many people have in the last years been thrown in prison, even killed in different areas in different countries because of the idolatry way of worshiping, heeded not to the Christianity way of life, but they sought after their own ways and their own gods, and they killed them that were sent to them to bring this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to them. They killed them. Well, they might say it was through ignorance, but God looked on ignorance at one time. He winked at it, but he calls every man into repentance nowadays. So them people that have killed is no different from them that when Jesus spoke about the parable about the vineyard that he had planted, he said he chose it up. He had a choice vineyard. He took out all the stones, and he planted the choice vines into the vineyard, and he made a wine press, and he walled it up. But the time come when he sought for the fruits of the vineyard, he sent his servants there, and them people that was in charge of it killed them, run them off, and different things. And so he finally said, well, I'll send my son. Surely they will receive him. But when they seen him coming, and we want to speak about that, the world seen Jesus Christ, but they rejected him. Israel, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But unto them that received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. You know that Israel was chosen to be God's elect until they persecuted him, till they took him and had him by sinful hands. They would not let him live, but they had him crucified because of the false teachings of doctrines back then, where they called him a wine bibber, they called him different things, and said he cast out devils by Beelzebub and all these things. So they had him crucified. It's the same way the fulfillment of the scriptures that the Bible speaks about, that Jesus was telling them about the vineyard that he had broke up. He chose vines, he planted them, put a wine press in there, but when he sought for the fruits of it, he brought forth wild grapes, and they cast him out. And therefore they persecuted him, even hung him on the cross. My friend, we're living in those days today. If we'll take time to study that what Israel done, we're looking at the time that we're living in today. When our forefathers left England over there, or where it was at, and they came into this country here we call the United States, seeking from oppression against the things that oppressed them in that way, under a king's rule that was not very healthy for them, and they sought to have freedom of religion. So God seen them, then he brought them into this United States, and we had that for a number of years. Our forefathers set forth in our things of the Constitution and everything, and mention about the things of God and about how it should be, and it was set in order. Our Constitution speaks about these things. But since then, we have come to the place that we're in, that the nation has come and forgotten about God. They've come and made laws against his principles, against his teachings, and against his moral application of Christianity. They made laws that would tear down the good things and uphold the bad things. We're looking at that time today, my friend, and we need to take into consideration. Paul was persecuted the Christian people, and he suffered much. He suffered shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods, stoned, and left for dead. But he was a instrument in God's hand. He was put in prison, but God said he was going to send him to Rome. Rome is where he was at when they executed him for the gospel's sake. But he preached unto them, and this Roman Empire that was back then has got the same attitude as they have today, and it all comes from that old harlot doctrine at wherein that they have brought forth other gods, other religions, and bringing it forth there and putting man in the place of God, and they worship him to be such as that. It's going to come to the time to where you're going to have to make a choice, my friend. You're going to have to accept God's will and his way, or go down the tube, so they say, be cast into hell, into outer darkness, because God said he would not give his glory to no man, and there is only no other gods that he knowed of, though he not known none, as Isaiah prophesied, that there was no other gods beside him, and he's not going to let them take his place. So man here on earth claiming that he is God on earth is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't care where part of the world he comes from, and there's no other gods except God himself manifested in the flesh and came in the person of Jesus Christ to die for yours and my miserable soul, to wherein that we can have salvation and be ushered into the kingdom of God. His kingdom is not of this world. The devil is a god of this world. So where are you going to go? Are you going to go to the kingdom of God, or are you going to suffer the loss of the eternal life through the worshiping of the things that are here on this land and declaring that they are right and God's word is wrong? I would that you would pay attention, read your Bible, turn aside from all these false doctrine and see what the word of God has to say about these people that are claiming to be Christians and claiming to be so close to God, as the man over in Italy claiming to be God on earth, when he's an instrument of the devil to deceive and destroy human life. It's been done in the past. Rome crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that killed Paul, and they brought forth. And now that we're living in those days again, that we're in, that Daniel prophesied about the man of the head of gold, the silver, and the bronze, and the iron and the clay mixed. We're living in those old days of now, the five kingdoms coming into a fourth of the clay and the iron, wherein Christianity and politics is mixed together. And friends, it doesn't work. Politics is not no place in the kingdom of God, because of all of these things that are done in the back room of some place or another, and wherein a group of men got together and made their own laws to suit themselves, and leaving God out of the equation and putting God in out of the whole situation, is false religion, false teachers, and they will come to no end but into destruction. So it's time we take a look at the scriptures. And in Acts, when Paul was, or in Saul rather, on the road to Damascus, and he was reaching out to take down and tear down the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when he came face to face with reality, Jesus met him on the road. Has he met you lately? Have you come to him lately and called upon his name to try to bring forth his righteousness to others? That you would declare his name unto your friends, your neighbors, and all? Or have you just put yourself to be in some kind of religious fanatic, and you become like some of these TV preachers that up there? All they're after is your money, my friend. I'm after winning souls for the kingdom of God. You and I are at stake if we listen to all this junk that comes on the television and everything, where they come in to prosperity, and that God will reach out and touch you and bless you with all kinds of material things. When he said in Matthew, wrote there, speaking to him there, he said, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. Now, a lot of these people are coming around and preaching these miracles that they performed and everything. They haven't performed to nothing. Miracles come from God, but miracles had not saved, or elsewise Israel would not have went by the wayside as they did, because they seen more miracles in the world. They seen the Red Sea depart. They seen water turned to wine. They seen all these things, the dead raised, the blind eyes opening by the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they persecuted him. The leaders of that day, the same as doing today, the leaders of this day is putting aside the things that Jesus said that we could have. They're discrediting them. They're bringing in false religions, and they're allowing this these organizations to come and trying to do away with our school, in our schools, the right to have a God that would answer our prayers, and taking prayer out of the schools. And now instead of having prayer and God in the schools, they've let the devil in there, and he's killing our young ones, because that people have went along with the democracy that has come up and denying the Lord Jesus Christ and going along with the laws of this land instead of the laws of God. And they put God out, and the devil came in. And so therefore he's come into the schools, killed them, come into other places and killing people simply because that they fail to come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ and the precious blood that he shed there for yours and my sin. So what are we going to do? We're going to continue in our sins that grace may abound? God forbid. He's not going to allow the grace of God to cover your sins and you keep walking in adultery, foolishness and drunkenness and killing and being sported into things that is not godly. You're leaving the principles of the doctrines of God through into wherein that you come to let the carnality overcome the world, and it's come to the place of where they accept the salvation of God. The Gentiles was a people that was put in darkness under a curse of death and had no hope until Jesus come and died for us. There was a petition there, a veil over the in the temple there, over the holiest of holies. Only the priest of that time could go in behind, but he had to be having all of his P's and Q's together, or elsewise he stepped in behind that veil with any sin in his life, he was a dead man. If God were to do some of that today, maybe some of these would go to looking for a different attitude towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. We realize that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just Peter they lied to, but they lied to the Holy Ghost when they said that they had sold the amount of property, but they was going to hold back some of it and just give a portion of it and make people think that they give all they had. See, God knows the heart. He's looking down on you. And you people that's given to these false teachers and going around for prosperity, looking for a true road into glory because you gave to them and they're wearing their big fancy suits and you going without and they riding around in their big automobiles or their Lear jets and going from here and spending multiple monies on vacations and things that they want and they desire, building their big memorials to themselves and saying like Nebuchadnezzar, look what I have done. A stupidity spirit fell on Nebuchadnezzar, and for seven times he was under the dew of the world. If God began to do some of these here prosperity things like that and shut their mouths, then people may come to the realize that God is God all over the world, and he ain't going to allow some other religion to take his place. But he's held back his raft, but the time is coming close upon us that his wrath is going to be poured out upon this sinful and adulterous generation. There's going to wind up with people that will be lost without any hope because they failed to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because of false teachings and false doctrines. You fall into this catechism stuff and everything, believing all of this, praying to Mary. Mary is just a little Jew girl that was there out of the a lineage of David, which God chose to come into this world through her womb that he had made, and he brought it forth, and Mary is dead. She rests in the place of wherein that, and she can hear no prayer. The dead heareth nothing, neither can they say anything. Jesus Christ come into this world. He died, he was buried, and he arose on the third day, and he's alive forevermore. Now, if you're going to believe that the dead can live again, you're going to have to believe in the resurrection. You're going to have to believe that there's going to come a time that there is going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The just will be brought into the kingdom of God, and the unjust will be cast again into outer darkness, into the second death. So now, honestly with yourself, which would you rather be, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe first face persecution, maybe even death for being one of his disciples? Or would you rather go along with the world and die anyway, be cast into hell, and then resurrected and cast into hell again because of your unbelief and because you received not the gospel of Jesus Christ and was born again? My friend, you can't get there except you be born again. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you won't even be able to see it. Let him do it, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Can a man, when he's old, enter the second time? No. You're looking at carnality. We're looking at the spiritual birth, wherein the firstborn of God is the one that have been born of the water and of the Spirit. They're the one that's going to in eternal life. They're the one that's going to be brought up into the kingdom of God. Them that fail to be repent and be godly sorrow, turn from their wicked ways and seek after the kingdom of God. God is going to be the one that's going to enter into the kingdom. My friend, which will it be? Will you read the word of God? Will you believe what it says against all these other false teachings that goes around with their long robes and their hands folded in such a manner that they look holy and are the instruments of Satan, and they bringing forth false teachings and doctrines? God is not in a secret place, even though you can't see him. You can come to him in the place and behind closed doors in your own bedroom or throughout the world and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus anywhere you may be at the time. You don't have to go into a chamber where some man sits on one side hid and you on the other side, and you confess your sins to him, and he'd tell you to go and say so many of this and so many of that, and then you go and you ain't done nothing but catered to the devil and his things of false teachings and false religion, and you die in those, bust hell wide open. You got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your ways, and turn from your sinful ways, and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which would be your reasonable service. You don't need to go behind a screen somewhere or another and pray to some man that has no more right to forgive your sins than I have. I can't forgive your sins. There's only one person that can forgive your sins, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He's the only one that paid for your sins. He is a propitiation for your sins. He took your sin upon him. A man over there in Italy didn't do it. He's not God. He's like you are. And he's going to die and bust hell wide open except he repent and turn from his sinful way. My friend, we come to the place to worry in that Saul thought he was doing right because he upheld the law. But he found out there was no salvation in the law. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he found out. He didn't go to some... Now, Paul was a smart man. He learned at the feet of some of the smartest ones back then as far as the law was concerned, but he knew nothing about the salvation of Jesus Christ because they didn't teach him the things of salvation. They taught him the law. The law couldn't save us. So Saul went about upholding the law and trying to fulfill it, and he couldn't even do it himself. Jesus Christ come and fulfilled the law, and he died for us and took our sins upon him, nailing to wherein if we come to him, we can ask forgiveness of our sins, and we can get it. But no other man can do it. He's the only one that died for us. He's the only one that took our sins and nailed them to his cross. He's the only one that can give salvation. He's the only one that can bring forth eternal life unto you, my friend. No other man on this side of eternity can do it. The man that sits upon the throne or wherever he may be behind the pulpit, he cannot forgive you of your sins. I can't point you to the one that can, Jesus Christ, righteousness, the Son of the living God, God manifested in the flesh. The sonship was him that God presented and brought forth out of the womb of the little girl Mary, which was in the lineage of David. And therefore, Joseph was too, but men don't have babies. But my friend, Mary knew at, under the law, she was subject to be stoned when found with child. But she said, nevertheless, be it say. And she went ahead, and the power of the Most High, the Spirit of the living God, overshadowed her, and she conceived and brought forth a son. John, the first chapter, said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was manifested in the flesh. And these people that are teaching you differently is liars, and the truth ain't in them. They're false teachers. They're false. They don't believe in the righteousness of God. Just like the people today don't believe that when Peter was sent to Cornelius' house, which was a Gentile, God gave him the keys. He had to bring the key and unlock the door of salvation to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house, which was against the law for the Jews to go into them. But he went because God instructed him to, and he went and he told them what they needed to do, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter said, see here, can water be forbidden unto these that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, these are a bunch of denominations going around preaching that people that speak in that heavenly language is of the cult. They got it wrong. They are of the occult. They're teaching a false teaching because God said he would be a witness. Now, I'll grant you that some of them go to the extreme. They'll go and make a motion of it. Some of them he's come to teach them that they teach them how to speak in tongues. And I've met up a few of those, but you can know the difference if you have the Spirit of God, which is the discernment of the Spirit come by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will let you know whether it's God or not, my friend. And I have been in the mix of some of them that goes on all this, and it makes cold chills run over my back when they have blah, 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 pass the ketchup or so on and so forth like that. They turn it off like the water turning off in a spigot, and nothing accomplished by it. Paul made mention about that if they do, they do it at once, at the most three times, and if there be no interpretation, let them hold their peace and pray to themselves. But I want you to know that I've heard some of these here jump up and carry on and all that, and it's supposed to be the Holy Ghost speaking, but there has never been no interpretation of the Spirit of what God said to them. And it's false teachings, my friend, false gospel. Don't believe all that comes down the road just because they claim that there's going to be many that's going to say in that day, Lord, we've cast out blind eyes and we've done all these wonderful things in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of never knew you. Because they've been led down the road by false teachings and false preaching to believe that they are something that they're not. They try to magnify themselves and lift up themselves to this sinful, adulterous generation. And a lot of people have fallen for that. My friends, don't be deceived. Read your Bible. See what is and what ain't. See what's of God and see what's not of God. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Turn to him and allow him to come into your life. Let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, come into your life. And it will lead you and guide you into all truth. And you won't be fall into these traps that these false teachers come along with and having another gospel. My friend, there's only one gospel, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's power unto salvation. There's no other name given. No other way to make it except through Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. But people follow down the broad road of destruction because they're leading, being led by a false teaching and false doctrine. There's only one gospel, my friend, only one truth, and that's in Jesus Christ. If you want to be led by the Spirit, you got to know what the Word of God says. You've got to come to him and allow him to come into your life and lead you and direct you to righteousness for his name's sake. You can't be led by man. You can't be led by these people that comes and says they're this and says they're that, and they're telling you, God, I perform many miracles, and they all done it somewhere or another where you have no proof of, and they can't produce no fruits of the Spirit. But yet and still they claim that they've done so much. My Bible teaches, much as said, without me, ye can do nothing. And I believe that. I've seen God reach out by his Spirit and touch a lot of people in my time. But I didn't do it. The Holy Ghost done it through me, through the belief that they had, through faith that they had, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I blessed them, touched them, healed them, delivered them, and brought forth their heart's desire and gave it to them because they believed on him and believed that what I preached to them, Jesus Christ and him crucified, being the only Lord of Lords. My friend, today we got to realize that there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Paul come to find out about that. He thought he was doing right, but he found out that he done wrong. But he come to the place to wherein that he fulfilled the things that Jesus told Ananias. He says he's a chosen. Many things he will suffer for my name's sake. Look at how he hauled them off to prison because they believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was beaten. He was thrown in jail. He suffered many things for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. Simply because he went about doing the same thing to the people of the living God, Lord Jesus Christ. We got to realize that these people are down in the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day they're going to face up to him, and he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Cast him into outer darkness. I don't care who he is or where he come from, how high up on the ladder he's got, to thinking that he is something that he's not. He's going to be brought down into hell. A lot of them has built their castles on these theories. They come high. But he said he would be brought down into hell. Lucifer claimed, I will ascend, I will do this, and I will do that. I will ascend above the Most High. And a lot of these preachers have claimed this high business. And they will come to be naught when the time comes. He may get to be somebody in the eyes of man. But he's little in the eyes of God. And that's where it's all going to count, my friend. Them that will win souls for the kingdom will shine as the brightness of the stars of heaven. But them that fool lead them down the way of destruction is going to be cast into hell along with all the false prophets and false teachers. Oh, my friend, realize, read your book of Acts and find out what happened at the time of Paul's conversion. And how that he went and he found the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul made mention, he said, I'm an apostle born out of due season. He said he was not worthy, but God chose him to bring this gospel. And when Stephen was being stoned there and being persecuted and stoned, and Paul, or Saul rather, minded the clothes of them that were stoning him, later came on the road to Damascus. And therefore he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul suffered much. He suffered persecution by them that used to hang on to him, used to lift him up. Even to them of the Pharisees and the scribes, they honored him because he put down, persecuted them that called upon the name of the Lord. Now they turned about to persecute him, to sought out to kill him. Because he preached the gospel. My friend, you and I are no different. If you stand for the righteousness of God, you may come into the place of suffering. You may be even thrown in jail. We may be even forced to say, we're going to serve the Lord here regardless when their threat of death is upon us. What's it going to be? Are you going to choose life as it is? Or are you going to choose life in death with Jesus Christ? It's up to the individual, my friend. God has let us have that freedom of choice. He has gave us that right that we can choose today whom we shall serve. If you want to serve the world and the devil, that's your prerogative. But if you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it may come with a price of you forfeiting in your life. As the many have, under the Roman rule, there's many thousands that done. But yet they come to uphold that religion that's caused many people to be killed, to authenticate, and to say that it's right when it's as wrong can be. God is not pleased with that kind of stuff, and he's going to bring forth the wrath upon them, and they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the throne of grace. My friend, it's time we come to realize that there's only one true God, and his name is Jesus. He was called many names and many titles in the Old Testament, but when he gave Mary the name that is above every name, said his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. The people of Israel at that time was in God's place, and he honored them. They was first, but they were broken off because they denied him, and he had him crucified. This world today, as we're living in today, in this democracy that we're in, and under this here administration that the United States is under, they're coming to the place to where in that they say that homosexuals and these things are right, and we're going to have to own up to it. We're going to have to embrace it and everything. It's wrong. God never intended for man to be with man or woman with woman. He intended that the man and a woman to be brought together in the spirit of truth and in the holiness of God to bring forth reproduction. And he brought Eve to Adam and he called her woman. If he'd have brought Steve to him, he'd have called him a man. But if Adam was the firstborn of God, Eve was come out from the man, and I want you to understand, my friend, that God has no fellowship with them. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that same thing, and he's going to do the same thing with this present world today because the whole world is being eat up with it, and they're sanctioning it, and our government is backing it up and giving them all the privileges and rights but taking away the rights of Christianity and doing away with it. They're saying that right is wrong and wrong is right. So our present administration under this rule that we're under now is like the kings of old when they sought after, not after God, but persecuted the people that was serving the Lord Jesus Christ and put many of them to death, crucified them and all because of the false religion and false teachings. It's come to the place that we're in that we're going to have to stand for the truth. You may go down in death. You may be hung. You may be crucified. You may be many ways to take your life. But rest this assured, my friend, that God said, don't fear man who can destroy the body, but to fear God who can destroy the body and soul in hell. So what's it going to be? Are we going to fall in love with this present world of the administration that they're coming against the presence of God and against his rules and his laws? Are we going to stand by the truth in Jesus Christ and maybe be persecuted for that namesake? But more blessed is he that have been persecuted for him than he that has go by the way of Satan into the world's pleasures. Because the Bible plainly says that the time has come and that now is the time that they would seek after pleasures of life more than seeking after God. They've come to the place that they will go for miles and miles to watch a game of some kind and won't even go down the street to the church and worship the true and the living God. So God's getting tired of it, my friend. And first thing you know, he's going to appear from sin unto salvation, and he's going to bring forth a destructive force upon this world is going to be worse than any atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb could ever bring. It's going to come. You and I may not be there here on this planet Earth at that time. We may be gone by the way of the grave. Of course, I imagine there's some of you out there listening as old as I am, maybe a little older. But I've been around for a while. And I may be here when the Lord comes. I don't know. It's a possibility because things are fulfilling so quickly now. We heard of the earthquake just here a few days ago over in Cuba. It was even felt here in the west coast of Florida. I want you to understand, my friend, that these things are part of the Word of God that said that these things would happen. Earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, and people have come into the place to where they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having and heaping to themselves all these things that are bringing forth destruction upon us, all these diseases and things that are incurable, but yet still they are spending money over money rather than spend on these things, rather than go to the house of God and receive that free gift of salvation. They'll spend money, after building big memorials to themselves and having a great big crowd of there to listen to their folk music and their things that would bring forth and tickling their ears and pleasing their old flesh. But they won't seek salvation, which is a free gift from God through Jesus Christ. What's it going to be? Are you going to suffer damnation because of the old fleshly desires? Or will you come into the kingdom of God and seek after His righteousness and give up the old fleshly desire to be ushered into the kingdom of God and have everlasting life? Or will you be cast into hell, into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? And before I give up here and let my wife come in, because she's got something and she's in this ministry with me as a part of it, and therefore I give her the opportunity. There's a lot of preachers that does this, and a lot of them won't. They think that they are the head of the whole situation, but God put a woman in a man's life to be his helpmate, and she definitely is my helpmate. She helps me as we help one another. We serve the same God. We preach the same thing. My friend, today we need to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness with our whole heart, with everything that is within us. But let me say this, encourage you again. To the best of my knowledge and the best of my ability, read your Bible. Buy you one. Get you one. Read the Word of God. Take it as it is and not try to make it to suit yourself, but to realize that it is the truth, and God's going to punish sin, and he's going to uplift the righteous. And righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, and he is the only way it's going to come. You're going to have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You're going to have to be born again. If this here false teaching is like a hog been took out of the water, dressed up and bathed and put perfume on her, but turned loose and turned back again into the same old water, it's like a lot of these. Raise your hand and, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you're on your way. Don't believe all that stuff. Repentance come by godly sorrow for your sins and apologizing to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And he said he'll receive you. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. My friend, it's come time to the place that we're in. We got to realize that this gospel of Jesus Christ is our only hope. You can't put it in the arm of flesh as into the government looking at you, because they've taken all the rights and given them away to other places and causing you as a person that believes in a true and a living God to support these other nations which don't have, they have other gods, they have other names, and they are being persecuted for that because God is letting the wrath being poured out upon them. These things are spoken about in the Bible. Kingdoms against kingdoms, nations against nations, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, and all these things, pestilence, diseases, and all these things. Now here they come along here with this pharmaceutical thing, making drugs legal in some states for recreation things. and all this. But yet and still, they'll put you in jail for drinking whiskey and getting drunk. But you can go now and buy all this here stuff legally and get out there and kill people. As a, here not too long ago, this boy killed all these people. And a stupid judge, I mean stupidity, let this boy go because his folks had a lot of money. Now, if that ain't the height of stupidity, I don't know what is. That boy shouldn't have been, he should have been put in jail along with all the others that had less money and maybe no money. If you kill somebody in a stupid drunk, then you're stupid. But because his parents didn't have no teaching, because they was dumb and stupid, they didn't teach him any moral respect for other people in their life. So he got off. And this judge needs to be run slap out of town on a rail, tarred and feathered, and brought down and cast out. Absolutely, because that is not right. It is absolutely not right. Killing the poor people and then him get off scot-free with just a probation. Oh, my friends, today we're living in a world that of deception and crude, and because of the monetary things, money is the cause of a lot of things being disturbed and being brought down into naught because people have come to the love of money more than the lovers of God. It's the root of all evil. I don't know how much money they give that judge to pronounce him to be, you know, let him go. I don't know how much money they give him, if they give him any. I don't know. But there had to be something there to influence that judge of some way or another, as it is with a lot of our politicians in the world today. Money has caused a lot of people to go by the wayside because they want love of money more than lovers of God. My friend, it's time we need to pray for God's deliverance. Pray that he would help us to endure to the end. Pray for our boys and girls that are in these wars over there in other countries. Pray for them that have suffered loss of legs and eyes and so on and so forth to bring forth freedom that we, such as we have under this administration. Because this one has taken away a lot of our freedom and been forcing his laws and his ways upon us. It's not right. It's not right, my friend. We need to put an end to it. We need to stand for the righteousness of God and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, come on, Lord Jesus. That's what we need to do. Need to call upon him faithfully. Come on, Lord Jesus, come on. Put an end to all this here corruption that's going on in the world. But until that time comes, be it known unto you, God is our only hope. Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine. He is our only hope of salvation. Turn to him today. Pray for the leaders of this country and your other countries, that they will come to the light of the gospel, turn from their wicked ways, and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. May God bless you. Now, my wife is coming here, and she's got something, so stay tuned. May God bless you. Until next time, to take time for Jesus.
Well, I just praise the Lord for this opportunity today that I can share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. I read a lot of things, and like I've said before, if you've got something that you would like to share with the world or wherever we're heard, you just send it to us, email it to me, and I'll be glad to share it because I'm running out of things. Well, not really. I get some just about every day, but I just thank the Lord that he has put in our hearts to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and is soon coming, and our goal is to lead people to have a closer walk with the Lord. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes and everything like that, but we try to strengthen your faith, and by sharing with you what the Lord has laid on our hearts, it helps strengthen our faith. And this afternoon, I want to read to you, it's from the Daily Bread. And I appreciate the Daily Bread. It's called A Situation Excellent. At the First Battle of the Marne during World War I, a French lieutenant general sent out this communique, which means communication. My center is giving way. My right is retreating. Situation excellent. I am attacking. His willingness to see hope in a tough situation eventually led to the victory for his troops. Sometimes in life's battle, we can feel as if we are losing on every front. Family discord, business setbacks, financial woes, or a decline in health can put a pessimistic spin on the way we look at life. But the believer in Christ can always find a way to conclude, situation excellent. Look at Paul. When he was thrown in prison for preaching the gospel, he had an unusually upbeat attitude. To the church at Philippi, he wrote, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel in Philippians 1 and 12. Paul saw his prison situation as a new platform from which we evangelized the Roman palace guard. In addition, other Christians became emboldened by his situation to preach the gospel more fearlessly. In Romans, the first chapter, 13 to 14, God can use our trials to work good. In Romans 8 and 28, that's just one more way he can be honored. Trials can be God's road to triumph. And I thank the Lord for y'all listening to us this afternoon. And if it's been a blessing, we'd like to hear from you. But I'm going to shock the world. I just feel like singing a song this afternoon. Brother Earl doesn't know about it, and he says, oh, Lord. But this song, I sing it all the time. I heard it one time on the radio, and I looked it up on the internet, and I got the words to it. And it's called, We're Not Home Yet, Children. This old world is filled with disappointments and trouble every day. Many times I get discouraged and I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. That's the reason I keep singing as I go. We're not home yet, children, so keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus, and our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. And that's what I say every day. I say, we're not home yet. But as Paul said, we're not there, but I'm struggling. And every day's a struggle with the things that go on in the world. And all we can do is just press on that one day we're going to reach and receive our crown. And I just thank the Lord again for all those that have written to us, the emails that we get and everything. And I'd like to share one with you that was from London. It says, Glory be to Jesus. The Father is so good to me. I'm into my Bible and I love knowing all I can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoying your broadcast. And that's from London, England. And I just thank the Lord for everything we get from you people out there. And I thank God especially for those that have taken just a minute to send us an email, tell us what they appreciate us. And if there's something you don't like, I mean, you can even do that. You know, I'm open for criticisms. If there's anything I can do to maybe help somebody along this way as a journey to heaven. And we're not home yet, but we're looking forward to being there. And if we can help you get a closer walk with the Lord, and if you would like to send a love gift or email us, our email address is ecompton31@yahoo.com. Our post office box is Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you live in the Tampa area and you would like to attend a church at 7:30 on Saturday and Sunday night, you can email us and we'll give you the address and everything. We preach Jesus. We don't have a bunch of drums and a bunch of noise or anything, but we preach Jesus and we sing the old songs that uplifts the name of Jesus. May God bless you and may Jesus return soon. Look up. Jesus is coming soon. Repent. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. Praise the Lord.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus. P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior.